In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. I saw a cartoon the other day entitled, "The Family Trip to Nirvana." Mom and Dad are seated with their two preteen children, all four of them facing in the same direction as if they're in the family car, but in fact, they're all seated in meditation pose on their living room floor. From the back row, their son asks, "Are we there yet?" I love that. Another cartoon along these lines shows a car driving past a sign on a highway. The sign says, "Not there yet, next 253 miles. To me, the lessons for Ascension Day address this very question: how to live our lives when we're not there yet. We all experience these seasons in our lives, not only as individuals, but as families, as a church, as a nation. Periods of profound change when things get unsettled and we're not sure when they'll settle down again and what they'll look like when they do. Seasons when we wonder if the things we hope and long for in our lives and in the world around us will ever come to pass. This is very much the situation of the disciples who we encounter in today's readings. The people of Israel had experienced centuries of national distress. One occupying force after another had invaded their land, taken its resources, and subjected them to servitude. Through all this time, the prophets of Israel had kept alive the hope that one day God would restore their nation to its former glory, that God would bless them again with freedom and peace and prosperity, as he had in the time of David. As Americans, we have not been subject to foreign rule since before the Revolutionary War. Yet we are no longer strangers to this hope that someday we might return to our former glory, to times of relative peace and prosperity, because at this point, we are still very much mired in a 10-year war and an extended period of recession. And so that hope seems to elude us a bit. For others around the world, they're waiting not for the restoration of peace, but for peace to come for the first time in their lives. Israel's longing for a Messiah, a hope which carried and continues to carry them through the centuries, is a hope that one day God would raise up a leader who would bring about that restoration, that one day they'd arrive at their longed-for destination, and things would be set to rights. And the coming of the Messiah was to be the sign that they were just about there, that landmark that when you saw it made you know you were almost home. So when Jesus' disciples encounter the risen Jesus, as they have in the stories that we've read week after week since Easter, and they begin to see that the man they thought was Messiah is no longer dead, but somehow mysteriously and eternally alive, when this extraordinary mystery unfolds in front of them, you can't help them. You can't blame them for getting excited and asking Jesus, as they do in the reading from Acts, "Is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Are we there yet?" It's something like that hope and excitement that Mike and I felt when we received our very first call about a baby who needed a home. "Oh, we're almost there." It's that same hope and excitement that high school graduates across this country feel, and they will feel this summer as they get ready to go off to college or trade school or the military. "Can't wait for my life to begin." It's that excitement that the cancer patient feels as they await test results after having had several rounds of chemotherapy. that the woman who's been looking for work for 18 months feels when she finally lands that big interview. It's that excitement the couple feels as they're just about to retire together. Is this the time, Lord, when things will finally be as we hoped they would be? Jesus' response to their hope is both disappointing and promising all at once. To their question, "Are we there yet?" Jesus responds, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority." He doesn't say, "Yes, this is it, you've arrived." Nor does he say, "No, this isn't it, you'll have to wait." Instead, he says, "Timing belongs to God. You are not in control." But the fact that he's then taken up into the clouds isn't exactly comforting, is it? If he's the sign that things are just about ready to turn to the good, finally, then where does it leave them when he suddenly slips away? Standing there dumbfounded, that's where, looking up into the clouds, wishing him back. This is what happens when we get overly fixated on any particular sign, on any particular landmark to tell us we're almost home. We get disappointed when we get close enough to read the sign and find that what it actually says is "not there yet, next 253 miles. And we stand there dumbfounded for a while, wishing it wasn't so. But here's the incredible thing. Hidden right there in Jesus' elusive and disappointing answer to the disciples' question is also our hope and our strength to keep going. Jesus seems to say, "God's timing is not for us to know. Don't pin your hopes on any particular landmark to tell you you've arrived. But I'm not going to leave you without a roadmap for how to go on from here either." In this ascension story in Acts, before he's lifted up into the clouds, Jesus tells his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I will be with you. I will be with you always." Jesus says the roadmap to the promised future is to focus on the now, to live our lives as Jesus's witnesses now. Witnessing now means living like the Messiah has already come, which he has. It means trusting that God is indeed in the know, even if we aren't, and that God's plans for us are not desolation, but, as the prophet Jeremiah says, plans to give us a future and a hope. Mike and I have learned a lot about this as we've moved through this journey toward adoption. We've learned to let go of the end result and love the child in front of us. First BJ, then Sam, then Sam leaves, and then Sam comes back. In fact, that's how one person sums up the gospel. It's the call to love the one in front of us, the one who's in front of us now. That's indeed what Jesus said and taught us to do: love one another as I have loved you. And as we have tried to do that, Mike and I, we've discovered that the joy we've been waiting for is here. It's already here, available right now. I haven't yet seen this new movie called The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, but I've read a little bit about it. I've heard about it. It looks excellent. And I've heard two quotes. The first one from this movie is Evelyn, one, I guess, older woman, says to another, "Nothing here has worked out quite as I expected." This, I guess, retirement community in India. Nothing here has worked out quite as I expected, and the other one answers, most things don't, but sometimes what happens instead is the good stuff. For those who would be followers of Jesus, the cliched and overused phrase turns out to be true. The journey is the destination. The journey is what it's all about. Trusting, really coming to trust that the Messiah has come and that God has in mind for us a future and a hope, enables us to rise with Jesus in his ascension, in a sense, to rise above the present circumstances, allowing us to live with courage and freedom and hope and strength in the present because we know what the end of the story will be. We may not know exactly the landmarks that tell us we're getting there, and we may not know the day or the hour. We may, in fact, have to revise what we think getting there looks like. But we can trust that we will get there. In one of the trailers that's running on TV right now for this movie, The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, a young man seems to be consoling an older woman. He says, everything will be all right in the end. If it's not all right, then it's not the end. That's what it means to live in that place where we're not there yet. It means knowing that everything will be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, then it's not the end. Amen.